Good day, wonderful humans of the universe, and welcome to Getting the Tea. I am your host, Ali M, and I welcome you to the ninth episode of this podcast series titled Without a Dad. This episode was originally planned to answer questions or topics sent in, but since there weren't enough submissions, I figured I would start off the series of podcasts that focus on family. I've mentioned my dad throughout a lot of the episodes, and, you know, made many comments. I figured, why not do an episode on him? And since, you know, I was going to start family next week, I figured we might as well start it now, and this was a good chance to do this. So I do want to, like I said at the end of last week's episode, this one's pretty heavy. I'm probably going to try my best. I'm going to try my best not to get emotional. And I think I'm pretty good at blocking that out. But it is heavy. It's vulnerable. So if you're not in a space that feels safe to feel all of that things, I would suggest listening to this at a different time. And also allowing yourself some time afterwards to kind of regulate if need be. You know, if you think you got it, then you got it. But I do want to, you know, disclose that at the very beginning of this episode. So obviously, I can't bring my dad on. My dad can't share his experiences and point of view because he's dead. And even if he wasn't, I don't think he would have agreed to have this conversation. And I definitely wouldn't be comfortable doing it either. So before I start this, I wanted to add that in. You know, this is my side of the story. My dad's will never be heard, other than what I know from conversations with my mom and other people. So let's get started. My mom and my dad were never in a steady relationship that I can remember. I remember a lot of on again, off again scenarios. And living in two different places. And I know they divorced when I was in elementary school. I can't remember if I was 8 or if I was 10. But I was in elementary school when they finally officially divorced. I was never really close with my dad anyway. I only saw him 2 days a week. So we've always been kind of distant. And when I think about my childhood with my dad, and, you know, I look at pictures to kind of jog those memories. Like, I think my biggest ones that I have, all of my childhood memories with my dad are pretty positive. Whether we were close or not, they've always been positive. I remember at one house we lived in front of a cornfield. So I remember running through that cornfield with him and the cat that we had at the time. I remember going fishing a lot with him as a kid. I remember playing mousetrap with him. I remember learning, you know, 60s, 70s, and 80s rock and roll from him. So, I mean, I had a lot of great experiences with my dad that I can remember. But since he was so, like, I don't remember a lot about my childhood anyway, so I'm not going to, like, say that there weren't more. But a lot of, like I said, I only saw him 2 days a week. And he worked swing shifts, so it was like even during those 2 days, like, he would probably be distant. And some of those days I was in school, so it was like, you know, the least amount of time I probably spent with him would be like 24 hours a week. And the most would be maybe like 48. So, I mean, it wasn't an environment that we probably could have had a close relationship anyway. So we were just kind of dealt a rough hand from the beginning. My dad had a different love language than what I needed as well. Like, I'm the type of person that I need like words of affirmation. That's the love language that I need. But he was the type of person that didn't talk about feelings, didn't talk about, you know, anything of that sort. His love language was, I'm gonna make sure you have money. I'm gonna make sure your car's taken care of. Make sure you eat and all this stuff. So his was more of a provider, a love language, and that's not what I needed ever in my life. That was kind of, an issue we always had. And I spent most of my life being given the excuse of, my dad didn't have a father, so he doesn't know how to be one. He's learning as he goes, which is true. My dad's dad left him as a baby. And I will always refer to my dad's biological dad as my dad's dad. He is not my grandfather in any way, shape, or form. My grandma got remarried, and that guy I will call my grandfather because he was in my life. Because my dad's dad left both of us. I saw him once in my life, and then again when my dad died. He would send birthday cards, and then I think I turned 16 or something, and I never heard from him again. So that dude's not my grandfather. So my dad did have a father figure. I don't really know how old my dad was when they got married, but he was around when I was born. So I at least know he was there in my dad's 20s. And I know that's kind of late, but it was still someone to talk to about things. So that excuse is not as great for me as it would be if he just never had a man figure in his life. But like I said, my dad did provide for me. I never went without. We bonded over fishing, NASCAR, and Ghost Hunters. So we would watch TV together and all that stuff. But as I became a teenager, it all changed, for many reasons. One, I was a teenager. I didn't really want to be bothered, and that wasn't just from my dad. I kind of shut out my mom too, so it was, my parents were not my favorite people when I was a teenager, and that was just a typical teenage thing that I went through at the time. And I was also struggling with my own things. So, I was stubborn and I didn't really want to deal with my parents. And so that was a main reason. And a second one, and I don't think I've ever told this to anybody. I've never really had this conversation with anybody. But my dad started dating. And my dad had dated, I think, one other woman. And I don't think I was really weird about that one. Because I did like the lady, and she had a son. And we were at that age where it was like, I don't want to be around boys, and he didn't want to be around girls, but we could hang out, and I had somebody. So that one was fine, and I think I was like in early middle school when that happened, late elementary school. So I hadn't quite become as stubborn yet. But my dad started dating, and it blossomed into, they got married. They lived together before they got married, but it definitely all changed for me when he moved in with her, and it mostly for me was because I already didn't have a lot of my dad. Like I said, even if I was with him for 2 days a week, 2 to 3, it depended on what shift he was on. The max amount of time that I would even get to spend with him would be 48 hours. And so now that time was pretty much cut short. I had to share it with other people. And I didn't really like that at all. I started feeling like a second priority to my dad. And that's not really any way that any kid should ever feel in any situation. And so, yeah, I just became more resistant to him and the whole situation. My dad never talked to me about feelings. I think the most emotional conversation that he ever tried to have with me, was when his mom died, and I was 14, about to turn 15. Like I turned 15 2 days after my grandma died. So that was, I think the most emotional I've ever seen him. And then I think my dad became religious when he started dating this lady. And so he would try to have conversations with me about God. And sometimes he would try to get emotional with me. But if you know me, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. So I didn't really want to have those conversations with him. So he wasn't emotionally available for me. I experienced a lot of death in high school. Within those 4 years, five people died in my life. And it was like one, at least one every year, and to my junior year. So I had a lot going on for me, that everybody knew about. And then, I also had a lot that I was dealing with personally. I was trying to figure out my sexuality, dealing with a lot of bullying at school, a lot of issues with friendships, a lot of issues in the relationships I had. And, my parents had very high expectations of me in school, so it was like I was juggling a lot, and I didn't really like myself. So high school was kind of when a lot of the depression and anxiety kicked in. A lot of PTSD. I mean, there are things that happened to me that, neither of my parents know. No one in my family knows. There's things that my mom knows that my dad doesn't know. So I mean, like, there was a lot on my plate as a teenager. And I don't ever remember, in my whole life, actually, but in the time that I needed him the most, I don't remember feeling comfortable enough to talk to him about it, about anything. And it didn't get better as I got older. I was like, oh, well, I was just a teenager, dealing with my own crap. It'll be fine. It'll get better. But it didn't, sadly. And there are two versions of the stories I'm about to tell. And I just want to say, so it's my story and my stepfamily story, and they're going to be completely different. And I know they are because I've heard my stepfamily's version of these stories. So there's a lot of people. I don't know if they listen to this podcast or not. And if they do, I'm sorry, you're about to get real mad. But I don't really care. And I say that because my reality is my reality. This is how I remember the events. This is the information I was given, and this is my experience. And people can't be mad at that. People can't be mad at the way that I experienced things, the information that I have, and the way that it is stored in my brain. So that's why I don't really care, because in my mind, this is the event, this is the experience, and this is just what it is. So I was outed to my dad. I had come out to my mom, and I remember it plain as day. We were on vacation, at the beach, and I was in the swimming pool, and I think I was in eighth grade. I think it was either seventh or eighth grade. And I was in the pool, and I was like, I gotta tell you something. And it took me like 5 minutes, I think, to tell her. And then I did. She was like, I already knew. I was like, okay, just stressed about that for like an hour. So I came out to my mom. So my mom knew, I think, before anybody else did. So my mom knew. But me and my dad weren't really close. So when I was, first starting to date women, and I don't think my mom even knew at the time that I was dating the girls that I was. So even at this point, like, I was still trying to figure it out. So, like I said, me and my dad weren't close. He wasn't emotionally available. So I wasn't going to tell him, like, this big thing in my life if I wasn't 100% sure that was what was going to stick. So I didn't come out to my dad. I was outed to my dad by my stepmom. I was dating a girl at the time. She was my best friend too. My dad didn't know, but this, I had convinced him to let her spend the night. And my dad never let anybody spend the night, at his house just because I wasn't with him a lot. Like 2 nights would be the most. So he was like, I want to spend as much time with you as possible. Oh, that crap. But my mom had let her spend the night. So it wasn't like mom said no, so I'm gonna ask dad, or my mom won't let her spend the night, so maybe my dad will. I even think my dad called my mom and was like, yo, who's this kid that's coming over to my house? So it wasn't like me manipulating him in any way. Like if I was at my mom's house that night, I probably would have been like, hey mom, we're doing this event until like 10 o'clock at night, can she just stay? I would have done the same thing. There's no probably. I definitely would have tried to convince my mom to do the same thing. But the next morning, my dad was mad. Mad is an understatement. My dad was angry. And I didn't know why. So we drove her home, and it was my stepsister's prom. So I think we were dropping her off to get her hair done. So it was my dad, my stepsister, and then me and this girl in the car. And instead of me sitting in the back seat with my friend, my dad made me sit in the front seat and my stepsister sit in the back seat with my friend. Which didn't make any sense to me. I was so confused. I didn't know what was going on. I was afraid. And I mean, I was like 15 too, so it was a hot mess for me. And then when we dropped my stepsister off, I still had to sit in the front seat. So we were like separated. And when we dropped my friend off, I couldn't even walk her to the door. My dad was like, stay in the car, I'll take her. And I was like, this is strange. So when we dropped her off and he was taking me back to my mom's, I think, he started to tell me, he started to preach to me because he became religious all of a sudden, which is fine. Have no problem with it. But started to preach to me about how being gay was a sin. The typical things you hear in the Bible Belt about homosexuality. So I immediately wanted to know how he figured it out because I didn't tell him, obviously. But apparently, my stepmom told my dad that she saw me and this girl kiss when she walked by the door one time. Needless to say, I was infuriated for a lot of reasons. For me, even if, like, I'm not saying that she didn't, one, because I was 15, I don't remember much of that night, other than, that morning, when it kind of all went down. Like I remember that perfectly, but the night before, like I don't, because like I said, I think we were out volunteering until like 9:30, so we didn't get home until like 10. So I think I just went to sleep. So I'm not gonna say that she didn't see that, but it's like she was also trying to be my mom in certain aspects of my life. If you're gonna force me to sit at the kitchen table and not leave until I eat my vegetables, then I feel like you have enough of a responsibility to when that stuff happens, you can come talk to me. Like, that's just my understanding of the situation. Like, if you're gonna make me eat my vegetables and not let me leave the kitchen table, and also convince my dad that that needs to happen. Like, he never cared about me eating vegetables until then. And then you can't come and talk to me about something that you saw. Like, that just isn't, it doesn't seem even to me at all. So she didn't even come and talk to me. So it's like, one, my dad didn't know. And even if my dad knew, like, he would have told you. So if you didn't know, obviously you knew that my dad didn't know. So why would you just go and tell him? Like, you don't out people no matter what the circumstances are. Like, what if for some reason, like, I think they had been together for a while. I mean, they were on and off apparently. But I think at that time, like, at least 2 years. 2 or 3, maybe. I don't know. My timeline is all messed up. But they had been together for at least 2 years because I got married before my grandma died, and it had been a couple of months since my grandma had died. So at least 2 years. So, like, it's one of those things of my dad never would have physically abused me or abused me in any way, but like, what if she didn't? Like, what if he had and she didn't know? Or what if this is the one thing that sent him over the edge and then he beat the crap out of me? Like, you just outed me to someone who you don't even know how they're gonna react. And so she didn't talk to me, outed me to my dad. My dad did not talk to me for a while. Like, I solely remember not going to my dad's house for the days that he was off for at least 2 weeks. It might have been longer, but I at least remember 2 weeks. And then there wasn't like any phone call to me, like asking how I was. I didn't even know. Apparently, my mom and my dad were talking throughout that time. He was telling my mom that he didn't know what to do, but needed time to process it and all this stuff. So, like, even though he was talking to my mom, I don't ever think my mom was like, "Your dad's asking how you are." Like, my dad shut me out. And so he could have completely left me because of this. And so it was just a hot mess. It just completely ruined any relationship that I had with that side of it. Like, I just couldn't trust them, and it was so hard for me to change that in my brain to anything other than what were you thinking, So some time went by. I don't really remember a lot of things that I did with my dad in high school, other than like going fishing, the typical things. Like, there wasn't anything huge that we did. So it was just our typical relationship. And kept hearing from my mom, "You still gotta go. You're not 18 yet," and all this stuff. So I went over there, spent most of my time in my room. Like I said, I had a lot on my plate in high school. So I didn't really talk to anybody in that house, because it didn't feel safe for me to do that. And then 2 years later, I was 17. It was like a week before my senior year. I attempted suicide. And I remember that day very clearly. I remember it because it was a Sunday. My mom was trying to convince me to go to church, and I would not go. I was like, "Nope, I'm not doing it." But I remember what sparked it all. I mean, it wasn't like it was new to me. Like, it was something that I had thought about for a while. But I was dating this girl, and it was long distance. We were about four hours away. We met online. We had met in person one time before. But I woke up to a text message from her saying that she had spent the night with her ex-girlfriend and she wanted to work things out with her and that we were done. And so, like, that's one, a horrible way to wake up, right? And it was like the straw that broke the camel's back. And I kept texting her, like, "Just answer the phone, just talk to me." Like, I just wanted an explanation, I think, more than anything. Like, I just wanted to hear it. I wanted it to be talked about, but she wouldn't do that for me. So I was done. And all within this time, my mom would peek in, like, "You sure you don't want to go to church?" "I'm gonna go to church." And so I At the time, I was in counseling. I was on antidepressant medications that obviously weren't working. So I took a bunch of those. I took a bunch of Tylenol. My mom was on anxiety meds. I took some of them. And then I was like laying in my bed. I was home alone. And I was like, crap. Like at that time, I was afraid to die. And so I texted my aunt and I was like, have you ever done something and then regretted it and didn't know like how to get past it? And so I told my aunt what I had done, and then my mom came home, and my mom was mad, obviously. And I think, well, I don't think I know. I think, most of that anger was fear. I think a lot of it was that she didn't know how serious my mental health was at the time. And I think it is hard. When you have kids and everything on the outside seems great, like they have food, they're not miserable in the sense of basic needs, they have friends and all that kind of stuff, it's kind of hard to understand why, that would be an option or ways that they're feeling. So I know my mom didn't understand. I know at the time she was very scared. And I say that because as time went on, when we went to the hospital and she, kind of knew that at that point I wasn't gonna die, she calmed down. And the anger became sadness. And so I say that to say that days later, like when the fear's gone, the emotions have settled, my mom and dad came in for a visit, and my dad, like, yelled at me. Well, maybe not yelled in the sense, but at least raised his voice. I don't think I've ever heard my dad yell. So when he raises his voice, it's yelling to me. Pretty much saying he couldn't believe that I would do this and that things in my life weren't that bad. And like I said, this was days later. This wasn't a fear reaction. It wasn't anything else like that. So it was kind of like, I need you and you're here yelling at me, And so it wasn't, that was kind of when it was really put into my brain that I couldn't emotionally ever rely on my dad. So that was pretty bad. Needless to say, years later, when I had to come out to my dad as transgender, I was horrified. Absolutely horrified. I was like, I'm gonna tell him this, and he's not gonna want anything to do with me. Like, this is just gonna be it. And I was at the point in my life, I was in grad school. Like, I don't think he was paying for anything. Like, I was still on his medical insurance, but I could get that through the school and use my loans for it. Like, it was like I didn't need him financially for anything. So most of it was just like, I'm gonna lose my dad, which, looking back on it, I lost him a while ago. And it was also like I already felt less than to him. Like, he had gotten remarried, he had two kids, two stepchildren, like, that he loved dearly, and I could see it. And there's nothing wrong with it. Like, my stepdad, my second father, loves me. And I'm glad he does. Like, there's no reason that I can be mad at him for loving them. But it was like, to me, it felt like he loved them more than me. And that's not okay. And, they had children. So my dad had grandchildren. And to me, I think, since I was dating women at the time, that my dad thought that I would never give him grandchildren. And, that wasn't the case. Like, I continue to plan to have children. And hopefully I can, if the world, moves in a different direction than what it's going now. But it was like, he didn't need me. Like, he had children that stepchildren he loved dearly. He had grandchildren that he could, grow old with and watch grow up. And so I didn't even feel like his kid at this point in my life. Like, I was the only biological kid but it felt like I was loved less. But anyway, I was, at college, I was doing my thing so I could take my mind off of it. We talked at least once a week, whether it was a text message or a phone call. And when I came home, we would hang out. So I put in my effort, even though looking back, I probably shouldn't have. So I had started physically transitioning to the point that I had facial hair and my voice had deepened. So there wasn't really anything I could do to hide it anymore. And I think at this point too, like my mom and I were talking about surgery and that kind of thing. So it was like it was a real deal. Like there was no hiding this anymore at all. And it was during the summer, so I was going home in I think a month. So I sent him a text message because I would have never felt safe enough to do it in public at all. Unless like my mom was there with me, so if it went bad, she could take me home because I would not want to be like I would not want to drive home from that or have him drive me home. But he responded, that he didn't understand, but he loved me anyway. Up until I had the surgery, he continued to ask if I was sure about it, which, when my mom did it, because me and my mom had already worked through all the, I wouldn't say issues that we had, but like the fears and the misunderstandings that we had. And so I think she maybe asked me two or three times within like the, I think it was 5 months from the time that I had the appointment to when I had the surgery. So my mom would ask, but I knew my mom was like asking me because she knew she wanted me to make sure that I was sure. Because I do things that are rash sometimes. Like I'll always don't really think things through. And she knows that about me. So I think hers was more of a protecting me to make sure that I knew what I was doing and that I really wanted it. But it didn't feel like that way with my dad. Like it felt like he was trying to keep me from doing it. And I think eventually I said, "Dad, I'm not going to change my mind. Just stop." And he did. And the day of the surgery, he showed up in dress pants, shirt, and a tie. So it kind of felt like he was on my side. Things were going well. He adjusted to my name and, tried his best with the pronouns, which, I've mentioned several times. I'm very lenient on that with my family. But it didn't last long, like at all. I think maybe like 3 months. And then it was like, oh, I'm not trying anymore. So it was hard. I mean, like when he would send text messages, he would write A instead of J. And he always called me JB, so then he was like AB. So, when he could think about it, it was different, and then he just stopped including it altogether. So, yeah. But then my dad got sick. I want to say a year, not even a year. I want to say like 6 or 7 months after I came out to him. So like 2 months after I had my surgery. And I put in way more effort than I probably should have to be close to him. Because I've had a lot of missed opportunities and a lot of regrets with a lot of the people that passed away in my life. And so, I kept trying to make up for those things and make sure I didn't make the same mistakes. So I put in a lot of effort. And by doing that, that means that I saw things differently, like more in an optimistic manner. Like he could have done something that on a normal circumstance would piss me off, but I kind of let it slide because he was dying. And I knew that from the start. So there are a lot of things that I probably don't even remember because I just shoved them down so deep just so I wouldn't have any regrets. And that I could say I tried my best So, because I mean, I couldn't really, like I said, I had a lot of regrets. And I say this because my first aunt who passed away had trouble with alcohol. And this is like a whole side note, but I'm gonna bring it back. And I think it was my birthday, or like my birthday party. It was my birthday party, so it was close to my birthday, obviously. But I don't remember if it was the same year my grandma had died or the year after. But it was like my aunt had trouble with alcohol, and drugs, and so she like completely forgot about it. And like when she showed up, like her kids were there, so she showed up to pick them up, I guess. And like my aunt was already mad at her. And I mean, they fight all the time, but it was like they were fighting, so I like had to take the kids to a different room and like distract them from the yelling that you can't really distract people from. And then I finally got pissed. I was like, screw this. So I walked out and I started yelling at her. I was like, you forgot my birthday. Like, there are tons of people right now who are dead that would love to be here and they can't be because they're dead and you just decide to just not show up. So I was like, infuriated. And then it was also around the time that my dad didn't talk to me because I was outed to my aunt. So I mean, there was a lot outed to him. So there was a lot going on. And I remember sitting in my car. So I was 16. So it had been 2 years since my grandma died. So I was like in my truck, like mad. And then she walks out and I was like, do not come to this car. But she sat in my car and would not leave. She was like, if I don't write things down, I forget. And I was like, that's a load of crap. But now I understand, because if I don't write things down, I forget. But I was so mad that I just didn't want to hear it. I was like, I don't have time for this for you right now. So I like came out to her in my car and I was like, my dad won't even talk to me because of this. And then you just up and forget about my birthday party. So I was so mad. She was like, I'm not leaving till you forgive me. So I just like lied to her and was like, fine, I forgive you. And I never really did. And I think it became more than my birthday party. Well, I know it did. She got worse with alcohol, and I was a teenager, so I didn't really understand, the severity of it and how hard it is to quit. And so I was like, she had 2 kids. I was like, how can you not stop for your kids at least? Like, they were kids. And so I was mad, like, pretty much up until, because she was in the hospital, I think, a week before she died, and she was like in a coma for most of it. And so it was like up until that time that I was mad at her. So, and I never, it took me a while to forgive myself for that. And so I wasn't about to do the same with my dad. So I was like, can I really do this again and be mad at somebody who's dying? And I couldn't be. But you can be. Like, it is okay to be mad at somebody, even if they're dying, if they're screwing you over. Like, do whatever makes you feel comfortable. Like like I said, I did this mainly because I didn't want to have any regrets. Because it I beat myself up for regrets more than I do for giving people more than I should have. So I feel more comfortable. Because my thing is what if I didn't put in that effort and things were different, then I would have felt real like bad. But I overdid it and things turned out horribly, so I can kind of be mad at somebody else for that, right? It's not really me. But back to, the main point of all of this. My dad had three wishes, three dying wishes, and one of them was to go skydiving. If you know me, I hate heights and I hate airplanes. Like, flying, it's horrible for me. But I wanted to make sure he got one of them, because another one was to go see Pearl Harbor and the other one was to drive a NASCAR car. I was like, okay, let's jump out of an airplane. So I did it for him. I spent, I think, a good portion of a year trying to convince my mom to let me take a semester off from school to come home and be with him. She wouldn't let me do it. But I was like willing to put my life on hold for my dad. I took days off from school and work to be there for his procedures. So I would drive home 5 hours and then drive back like the next day for 5 hours. Like miss school, have to do assignments. Like it was a lot for me. And I was in graduate school, so it made it like 10 times harder. I made myself vulnerable when I shouldn't have. And I, like I said, I gave everything I had. There wasn't more that I could have done unless I'd like quit school without my mom's approval. But the last month of his life was really when he hurt me the most. Like throughout my whole life, his last month of his life was when he hurt me the most. And honestly, like if he would have survived and he was still alive today, I probably wouldn't be talking to him. Like it ruined our relationship. And he probably doesn't even know. But as Kesha belts out in her song Praying, there are just some things that only God can forgive, and this is it. Now I have two photos with my dad as his son. Two. And both of them are from skydiving. So in the family planned family Christmas photos that were pretty much he's dying, let's take photos before it's too late. I was in, like 100%. I was already gonna be at home, like it was no issue. I needed those photos. Like people don't understand how important that was to me. So it was Thursday. We were gonna do them on a Saturday. Thursday I texted him, making sure we were still gonna do it. He told me he was sick and didn't know. Like he was like, I don't know if I'm gonna feel up to it. I believed it. It was true. He was dying. He was sick. So I understood. I texted him. I was like, let me know either way. Well, it was scheduled for like 10 a.m. on Saturday, and I had had surgery the day before. It wasn't extensive because I was awake, but it was like revisions to my top surgery. So like I had stitches, I had band-aids, I couldn't really move. So it took me like an hour and a half to just take a shower and get dressed. And put back on like all the band-aids and all the dressings and stuff like that. So I woke up at like 7 a.m. after I had been cut open the day before. To get ready, have time for my mom to drive me over there. Well, I was like waiting for a text message. And it was like 2 o'clock, and I was like, well, I guess we're not doing them. So I didn't even get one saying we weren't doing them. So I just assumed we weren't. Like I said, it was like 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and I was like, well, let me put on my pajamas. Well, Christmas Eve rolled around, and I hadn't even heard from my dad. Like, they weren't very far apart, it was like 3 or 4 days. But Christmas Eve rolled around, and I was like, I haven't heard anything from my dad. Like, he hadn't texted me or anything. And so I wasn't friends with my dad or my stepmom on Facebook, but I was like, let me go check my stepmom's profile. Because I knew that if dad had taken photos, she was going to post them. And sure enough, as soon as I got to the page, she had changed her profile picture, and all of them were in red. And I was like, you don't just dress up all in the same color if you're not taking professional photos, right? Like, that's just not a normal, regular day selfie. And sure enough, they had taken the photos, and my dad was in them. I was angry. I was broken. I was destroyed, and I was done. I remember I was in my bedroom. My mama was getting ready. I went in, and I was like, I'm not seeing my dad anymore. I don't care if he is dying. Like, I was so ready to just give up. I was like, I'm not going over there for Christmas. I'm not going over there tomorrow. Don't even worry about it. And then, of course, life comes in, and my dad was sick on Christmas Eve and went to the ER and called me and said, I'll let you know when I'm on the way home. That also didn't happen. But I was like, okay, I'll go over there on Christmas. I'll spend an hour. It's the holidays. The dude's dying. Can't be mad at a dying guy, right? Like I did the same internal conversation that I had before. And I think it was Christmas Day, that things like got bad for him. Like I think it was either Christmas Day or very soon to me going back to school that he went to the hospital and stayed there. So like again, I was still mad at the pictures, but I was like, the dude's dying and he's getting worse, so I'll just put all my stuff aside and deal with it later. But I did go over on Christmas. They brought up the photos, saying my dad wasn't gonna do them because he didn't feel well, but they, pushed him and persuaded him to do it. Okay, cool. Whatever, right? I was like, and in my brain, like, just don't even understand why even bring it up. Like, I could, for anything they know, I could have not even known and just thought we weren't going to do them. And then you just bring them up. Like, they just didn't make any sense to me. And I find it even weird, or I'm going to jump forward a little bit, but like, after he died, and we were picking out photos, and see, this is why I needed these photos, for my own personal thing. But we were picking out photos, to show in the slideshow. When people are dead, you show a slideshow of their whole life. And it was like all of them were me as like, honestly, like 14 and younger. So it was like, even as an adult, I didn't have pictures of my dad. And they were like, is this one okay? Is this one okay? And I was like, dude, like, what the hell? Like, no, it's not okay. But, like, I have to say it is. Like, I don't really know what you want from me at this point. So it was like, I was just infuriated pretty much the whole time. Like, it's just absolutely horrible. And so, like, even my oldest stepsister was like, I hated you couldn't be in the photos with us. And I promise you 100% that if there wasn't more people in that room, because I mean, it was like, if it was just the step, like my stepsisters, because I do, we were kind of, I say kind of because I didn't really interact with them a lot anyway. Even growing up, there was a lot of distance, but I was kind of close to them. But if it was just us three, I probably in that moment would have made the comment of I wasn't even invited. But I bit my tongue and I just dealt with it. But it was like to the point that even my stepsister thought that I just didn't go. And I was like, that wasn't even it at all. Like, it was just, it blew my mind. And like, the more I thought about this, because I mean, I've had a while to think about this. Like, it's been almost a year and a half since this happened. So I've had a while to, dwell on it a little bit. Even the fact that they persuaded my dad to do them, that meant that they were doing them anyway. Like, they were like, even if you're not going to be in them, we're still going to take them. And the fact that I wasn't even a part of that made me feel like I wasn't family enough to even be invited, even if my dad wasn't in them. It was like, your dad's the only reason we interact with you. I was like, whatever, dude. So, I mean, there's a lot to this that sucked. And it was like, even if you persuaded him to do it, like, my dad was so sick, it probably took him like 20 minutes to get dressed. Which is how long it takes me to get there. So it was like, even if you persuaded him, did you not even think to call me when he was going to be in them and be like, hey, do you want to come over? So it was like, one, I wasn't family enough to be in them if my dad wasn't in them. And two, I wasn't even worth the wait or the effort to call when my dad decided to get in the photos. Like, this isn't just like some random occurrence either. Like, it honestly felt so planned to leave me out that it, I just can't even put it into words. But like, they took something from me. And like I mentioned very early on, like when my dad moved in, like he was already taken from me. And so it was like this one thing that I wanted and I needed to have a picture with my dad as his son. One, so like if that was the only photo I had in like the memory reel that we played, like that would have been enough for me. I would have rather had one as father and son than the four that were in there. Like when I have long hair and I'm feminine, like that would have meant more to me than anything. But they took that from me. And the more I think about it and the more it feels like it was a planned thing, like that just makes me even more mad. So like it wasn't, I just can't like even process it, like even talking about it now. It just like, other than anger, I don't really have any other emotions about it. But like it was the end of life moments too. Like they took the opportunity for us to bond. You know, that could have been the one time that my dad like became emotional. And like on that topic, like apparently my dad became emotional with my stepsisters. Like I get my stepmom because you live together, like you can't not be emotional. But like people that didn't even live there. Like my step siblings, he was like getting emotional with and, you know, talking about all this stuff. And I'm like, dude, I'm your freaking kid and I'm being left in the dust. Like, I don't understand. So it was just, it was a whole lot for me. But it didn't end there. In fact, it got way worse. So my dad. I don't care what anybody said. Like I said, when my dad got diagnosed with cancer again, and we found out it wasn't just in his eye, I knew he was gonna die. Like, that's just how my life works. That's my luck. It was a cancer that they didn't have a cure for. They didn't even really have a treatment. So I was like, okay, you know, I have no hope. So at the end of it, my dad kind of knew that too. And so he planned his own funeral, went to the funeral home, paid for everything, picked out the coffin, you know, did everything, wrote his own obituary. So I showed up before my step family. I didn't know if they were there or not, so I walked in anyway. And then the guy starts going over it with me. And my dad had written me into the obituary as his daughter under my dead name. Well, I immediately changed that shit. I was like, absolutely not. We're not doing this. But I was like so filled with grief and sadness and so overwhelmed with everything because, I mean, he died on a Monday and they didn't bury him until like Friday. And it was like so stretched out when it didn't need to be. And so I was missing like a whole week of school. Like a whole week of my internship. So it was like I had school to worry about. I had my internship to worry about. Like, so I was just overwhelmed. And so I didn't process it. Like, I didn't even remember that it happened until I think like June. And he died in January. So it's like 4 or 5 months later that it popped into my brain. And I was like, wait a minute. Like, that's messed up. So my dad hurt me and then left. Like the dude, like, pretty much did one of the worst things he could to me and like died. Pretty much. Like, I can't ask him. I can't talk to him about it. Like, all the anger and the sadness and disappointment that I have, like, he's never gonna get that. He's never gonna feel it. I have to deal with it on my own. Like, it's just so messed up and screwed up that it doesn't even make any sense to me at all. You know, I was reaching for answers, reaching for something that made sense. You know, I talked to my mom. It was like the first time in my life ever that my mom didn't give me an excuse. And she was like, no, that's screwed up. There's no excuse for it. So I was like, well, I'm glad that you're validating my feelings, but I really want an excuse. Like, I wanted a reason, you know? So I reached out to my stepsister because she kept checking on me periodically. And my grandma brought this up too, but my grandma is like the kindest, sweetest person ever. So she always tries to find a silver lining. But my stepsister was like, he didn't want people to think he left you out. And I was like, okay. So I thought about that for a little while. And then I was like, so my dad cared more about what other people thought than what I would feel. And I say that pretty much because the people, like, my dad started a relationship with his dad again, which is fine. But even when he was dying, like, he wouldn't go see my dad. He wouldn't do, like, he was so distant. Like, he was putting more effort for a guy that didn't give two shits about him than his own son. And, like, the people that on that side of the family that he didn't really talk to, like, why would you care more about people that have been gone from your life than someone who's been there for like 24 years? Like, come on, dude. Like, anyway. And he never told them about me. Like, I'm not even kidding you. Like, I had to introduce myself after he was dead. So not only did he die and I had to deal with it, then I had to be reintroduced as his son to everyone, even to the point of these random people that I don't even know showed up at his funeral to walk in and like the family reception and sit in the front again that I didn't even know, and two that he hadn't even told. So I was like being introduced by my stepmom as my dad's son before we walked in to have the ceremony to then go bury my dad. Like, that's effed up. So he made me do what he didn't have the guts to do. He put me in an uncomfortable, like an uncomfortable situation when I was dealing with so much grief. And then months later, when I was able to process all this, I was mad. I was done. You know, I was struggling to find an answer, struggling to find a reason. Like I said, I talked to my mom. I even talked to my stepdad, my aunt, my grandma, my friends, and my therapist. And I pretty much realized that my dad loved me as his daughter, but not as his son. And that was a hard reality for me to get to. And like, I know he loved me at some point in my life because, you know, he provided for me, we bonded, and all that stuff. So I am grateful for him providing me with my basic needs and experiences that we had together. You know, I'm grateful, but I'm done. That's just what it is. You know, my dad isn't a horrible guy. I don't want anybody to think that at all. Because, like I said, this is my story and his can't be told. You know, I don't know his intentions. I don't know his thoughts or feelings. Maybe he couldn't understand, or maybe he didn't care. Like, I'll never know that. But he did care for me. He did provide for me. He was funny. You know, when he wasn't mad, I enjoyed being around him. You know, he was a good dad when it came to certain areas. He made mistakes. We all do. These just happened to end our relationship. This just happened to be the end for me. Like, even to the point of like his funeral was based mainly around my stepmom. And I was like, really? Like, I get that they loved each other and all this stuff, but I'm his kid. And like, even when the preacher included me, it was so forced. And I was grouped with the other kids. Like, I'm different, you know? I mean, like, obviously I'm different, but like, I'm the only biological kid and I'm grouped in with a bunch of people that weren't there for a majority of his life. Like, really? So anyway, you know, it's, I love my dad, but I can't forgive him for these things. I'm working on it just for my own sake and my own peace. But even when I get to the point that I can forgive him, I'm still gonna be done. It just kind of ruined our relationship. It's not really something that I'm gonna move past. And I'm not gonna forget it, And like I said, the forgiveness at this point is more for my own peace of mind than anything. So I know this was heavy. For most people who know me, that were a part of my life, whether it was in graduate school or my advisors or teachers and things like that, this is the first time that they're hearing probably this the whole story. If not, what happened in my dad's last year of his life with the photos and the obituary. So it was hard for me to kind of talk about this, and I kind of went off a couple of times and went on a soapbox, but it's one of those things of I'm not gonna hold back in any way, shape, or form. So I'm sorry if one if this was all over the place. Like, I always write a script, but there's always things that pop into my mind when I'm talking about things, and this was one that I don't want to tread lightly on, because I know a lot of transgender people also have these experiences. And I want to validate those and kind of make people see that it isn't just, sunshine and rainbows all the time. So I know this was heavy. Like I said, I want to thank you all for listening, especially to one of my most vulnerable moments. I'll talk, with my mom and my family in the weeks to come, and that's vulnerable too, but they all ended positively, so like it's easier for me to tell stories when they have a positive note. So this is definitely one of the hardest things that I've been through in my life. So I want to thank you guys for being here for this. So this, like I said, this will continue next week. I bring on my absolute saving grace, my best friend, my mom. So we will continue the series of episodes that feature family members. Next week we'll talk to my mom and about my mom, about her point of view and experiences during my transition. Look for that episode on May the 26th. As always, be sure to like and follow my Instagram page at Allie M with the T, and Facebook page Getting the T with Allie M. And you can find the website and the bios of both of those pages. If you do have any questions or topics you want discussed in this podcast, be sure to slide into my DMs or submit them on the Connect tab on my website. All the love, yours truly, Allie M.